You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5, ESPN Houston on YouTube. Round one of the 2024 Rock the Mic competition underway. This is your chance to help us determine which 10 podcasts will advance to the second round. Go to ESPN Houston YouTube channel, then find the Rock the Mic playlist, see all the entries, like your favorite entries to show us who you think is the best. And while you're there, make sure you just subscribe to our channel for all of our content. Poor Marine earlier on the Twitch said that they're all terrible and none of them should advance. That was mean, poor Marine. I'm sure with comments like that, that you probably auditioned, poor Marine. I'm sure that he, if you're going to be that critical of auditionees, I'm sure that he had to audition, right?
I don't think that's right at all, Jeremy. And I think if you're going to go on a percentage of Twitchers that actually auditioned, I would say zero.
Not good. Well, I mean, they probably didn't have the means. Rocky says we keep sending out sub-250 hitters with no power. That is true. 9666, Dana just doesn't know how to make trades. From the sound of that quote, probably give up number 3 through 5 prospects for the same guys you listed. Key from LA, these are our your guys' all-stars, whatever. Good luck, and y'all better push the
piling
panic
on
button.
Again, Key.
That's just push the panic button.
Stay the same.
You lost to this team a couple weeks ago, Key. Phillip 68, is this the beginning of bad baseball in Houston?
I don't think so. I think there's too many good players still on this roster. I don't think it's bad baseball. Bad baseball is a huge tumble from where they are currently, and they still are going to have Yordan, and they're going to have Pena, and we're going to have a lot of their pitchers. No. The answer is no.
I mean, they've been really average the last couple of years, right? Like, they have a record.
Look where they ended up.
You know, 57 and 54 this year. I mean, last year you started off pretty hot. You kind of stumbled to the end. Then you finished strong.
That's what I'm saying. They still, until that streak is broken, too, it's hard to say that they let you down or didn't do enough. I think this year.
But he's saying this is a start. He's not saying what they've done recently. He said, what's about to come? What's around the bend?
But when you think you got at least one more year of Tucker, unless they. If they trade him, you would think you're going to get something good in return. But if you got at least one more of Tucker, and you're going to have in your pitching staff Hunter Brown, Blanco, you're going to have Garcia back next year, I would assume.
Yeah, it's not world-beating.
It's not world-beating, but I think you can make the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then depending on if Dana does do something or adds somewhere and they spend money, which they at least have had a propensity to do.
They don't, but yeah, they're going to already have a lot of payroll, though.
But they're going to, if Bregman walks, you get that money back. If Verlander walks, you get that money back.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, you're still going to be at a pretty high payroll. You still have Hader. Presley made his money. You're still paying Montero. That's just your relievers right there. Right. You look at the offense, you're paying Altuve. You're still going to be paying Jose Abreu. Yordan has his contract, while team friendly, still has his contract. Kyle Tucker's arbitration number is going to go up. You're going to have a pretty decent payroll before you're even like looking at free agents.
You don't think you catch a break because of the injury with Tucker? For his arbitration?
They go up just by default. He's not going to make less than he's making.
No, not less.
He's, what, it's 20 million?
If he had the full season like he was playing when he got hurt, then the number could have gone up significantly.
Yeah, that's probably True. It probably holds some weight, but his average numbers are going to be really good. Average, OPS, mm-hmm. like that. I don't know how the arbiter would rule if they even get to the arbiter. Hopefully, like this last offseason, they avoided arbitration. First year of arbitration, they did not avoid arbitration. This past offseason, they did avoid arbitration.
But you'll have Yiner catching. You'll have Altuve at second. Pena at third.
Altuve makes money.
Pena at short.
Altuve makes a lot
he
of
does.
Money.
He does, but okay. But I'm just saying, like you'd love an upgrade at first. But, you know, in the outfield, Jake's going to be in center. Tucker's going to be in right. Yordan's either in left or DHing. So the majority of the lineup is there. The pitching staff, you're going to have Hader. You're going to have Abreu.
But it's a lineup that has five players that are below average right now.
Right, but you could, I mean, still with free, whether you, there's ways that you can upgrade first base.
I don't love the pitching staff they have coming back. Like, Fromber's back on one more year. Ronel Blanco, what's he going to be? Hunter Brown's been really good. Eric Geddy will be back. Maybe Luis Garcia, et cetera, et cetera.
Urquidy.
Or
maybe. I'm just saying, but you're looking at possibilities. Urquidy's in the mix.
I mean, I just don't look at that team as a 100-win team. I look at that team as a 90-win team. So, like, is this the beginning of average baseball in Houston? Oh, he said bad baseball.
He said bad baseball.
I maybe more average baseball.
I guess bad baseball caught my ire. I still think they could be a playoff team. Are they going to be a World Series contender? No.
Yeah, I think they could be a playoff team, too. I also think that if you get into the playoffs, you get hot, you can win a World Series. I think that the playoffs are a crapshoot, so I don't think they'll have the top five roster in baseball, but I think if you make the playoffs and you get a seat at the table, you have a shot.
Yes.
8755, if Luno was still here, the Astros would still be contenders. I really believe that. I do, too. I believe if Click were here, they would still be contenders.
I would agree with both.
I would argue that if it were me, they would be contenders. Okay. How does a why not? Well, if they would give me full autonomy to do whatever I want, Montero wouldn't be
never
here.
Done it before?
Nah, I'd be fine. I'd be fine at it. How does a bone bruise turn into 2 months IL? The worst bone bruises actually do take a lot of time to heal.
Yeah, so. It's just, and obviously it's more frustrating because it's the center stage and it was only, and they were talking like it was supposed to be 3 days and hit the road and he was going to play in Anaheim. But at the same time, we don't know. Everybody's different. Everybody's body handles things different. It's just hyper frustrating that this could take into September. And that's just not in anybody's biggest fear. No one thought this was season ending or September.
Bone breaks take 6 to 8 weeks. He'd be close to returning if he had a bone break. So I actually do believe the bone bruise. And I also don't know what the Astros' motive would be to lie about it. Like
they'd love to have him too, yeah.
But what's the motive to lie? Like if the Astros would have come out and say, oh yeah, we just discovered a bone break, I think people would be like, well, there you go. I actually think it would save the Astros a little PR. Now this long, it'd be like, well, why didn't you tell us this a long time ago?
Yeah, because this isn't like gamesmanship. Like you're trying to pull one over on in football, like because one of your best players isn't going to play, and that's a totally different scenario than if Tucker's going to be in the lineup or not. And for this long of a time, no.
Yeah, I don't see the motive there. And if you Google it, because Google gives you no wrong answers, it says that the worst bone bruises take longer than bone breaks. Speaking of guys coming off of injury, Justin Verlander trying to make his way back to a rehab assignment. Seems like he's on the cusp of doing that, although we think about that stuff a lot, and they either don't make it, or you have Luis Garcia, who made two rehab starts, shut him down, throws a bullpen, comes back the next day, oh no, my elbow hurts, or Lance McCullers, who has nothing structurally wrong, who's just soft and always hurt, et cetera, et cetera. So Verlander pitched it was yesterday. He threw a live BP, threw 30-something pitches, got a velo up to 94. Verlander was talking to the media after this live BP, and did he let something slip here? Is this something, or is this me making something out of nothing? He was asked a question about upping his velo, and this was his answer.
How would you assess the work you put in today, and how do you feel?
Yeah, great. Don't think I could have asked for much better. Felt really, really great. Physically.
You said last time you like to read the swings of the yeah. guys. You learn anything about the way they were swinging?
Yeah. Talked to Diaz after. He said the fastball was getting on him. You know, he's a great fastball hitter, so I wanted to throw him a bunch and kind of get a good read that way. And then more importantly, the off speeds. I've got some great reactions on all the pitches, really. 94, you know, which, I don't know the last time I've thrown a game at 7 o'clock in the morning, so, velo is one of the things that I'm hoping kind of starts to jump up like it would in spring training. Usually I start below 90 and it starts to build up, I guess especially after throwing last time, going on 5 days, throwing my bullpen in between with, pretty intense bullpen and with all the rehab I'm doing, shoulder rehab, neck rehab, just kind of like trying to.
Did you just say shoulder rehab?
He did.
A lot on my body and a lot of stress.
I thought he had an injured neck.
I was able to maintain the same velo
Well, the neck bone's connected to the shoulder.
Why is he doing shoulder rehab? I thought it was a neck injury.
Yeah,
did let something slip there? Is this something or is this nothing? Because I was listening to this and he was talking about velo and like it's a neck injury. And yes, hey, he's an old guy, posture. I've been doing a lot of shoulder rehab.
I think it's the neck bone connected to the shoulder bone from the standpoint of when you have a crick in your neck, the ligaments and everything also affect. He's basically saying it's affected his shoulder. So maybe they're doing everything on both ends of the of where the inflammation happened to make sure that everything's okay. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, if he hasn't pitched since June 9th, this can be 2.5 months in between major league appearances. This sounds more like a shoulder injury than a neck injury to me.
It's a possibility, but again, we had a neck injury turn into Tommy John surgery.
I know. Which makes it more apt that it could be a shoulder for Verlander, not a neck.
Isn't it at a certain point that we just say maybe in free agency they should go get a new medical team?
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't understand how every single injury becomes something different than what we're being told.
See, I don't know if it's the medical team doing a poor job. Like, I know we like to assign blame there, but like everybody has injuries. And it's not so much that like, okay, their recovery's poor, although it is. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to make a defense here for them, but I really can't. But I think that our frustration's more how vague they are.
Yeah, well, sure. It's the neck bone connected to the shoulder bone. It's the PR staff that's not going to tell you anything and use discomfort too much anyway. And then the stories as they play out, if you start and tell us it's one thing and it turns out to be something totally different, it doesn't exactly gain our trust and get us to believe we're going to believe whatever you say the next time. Because, again, sleeping wrong with the wrong pillow turned into Tommy John surgery. And you can go over and all the discomforts and the Verlander thing where the total denial that it was Tommy John and it was Tommy John and all the McCullers debacles.
It was a total denial. He said they're getting second and third opinions. He didn't say that he wasn't going to require Tommy John. He just said, pump the brakes, let's hold off.
I don't have them all in front of me. I just remember that they were vehemently denying Chandler, probably just to deny Chandler.
But I think they were denying the fact that they had already said he's having Tommy John. Now, it did happen. I don't think they made the decision yet when Chandler Rome was reporting it. And I think that's what they pushed back on.
I don't have, like I said, I don't recall and I don't want to misquote anything, but I just remember that was a very big point of contention.
Yeah.
And just like McCullers, I mean, when he did go down in the playoffs, this was going to be, well, I'll wait and see for the World Series. Then it was going to be, well, it'll be rectified in the offseason. And then a year and a half later, he had still not pitched and he was having surgery.
I think a lot of that might have been McCullers, though. Like 2753, the motive to lie from the organization that chalks everything up to discomfort. I don't know if the Astros have ever necessarily lied. 2753, not the most transparent here in recent years. That's the thing. Like, they're incredibly vague. They are definitely not transparent. I'm not sure I've ever caught the Astros in a lie about an injury. Like, the neck thing with Javier turning into Tommy John, I actually think he had a neck injury. Now that he returned too quickly, and then all of a sudden that turned into, like, more, like, force and strain on his elbow that eventually led to the Tommy John. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever caught the Astros in a lie.
Lie is harsh, but the first thing that came to my mind was Garcia, was the fact that, in my mind, the neck thing was masking, which was the bigger issue, which was there's
something. You mean Javier?
I mean Javier, sorry. And there was something going on with his elbow.
Yeah, but I don't think they let him come back like that if his elbow was the ailment. Unless you just totally misdiagnosed it.
Well, there's one. Or if it's, and I don't know how this all works with the inflammation and whatever, and what versus a tear versus what could be torn. But at this, I just, and again, because of the track record,
yeah,
I never believed the neck injury. But then when you not only not believe the neck injury, but it turns into that, it's hard to not feel even more level of distrust and go, who knows if it wasn't this the whole time?
I'm mostly playing devil's advocate. I think for peace of mind, yes, just get a new training staff. Like, just for peace of mind alone, even if they're completely innocent, even if they were never lying and, like, they had a string of really bad luck, their return to play has been terrible. Whether it's the player's fault, Lance McCullers, whether it's their fault, Luis Garcia, I don't know. Maybe it's just this weird coincidence that they've had this string of injuries, this misinformation. Maybe it's just the fact that they're not transparent. Maybe it's just this rash of injuries, which is common in baseball, especially for pitchers and Tommy John and elbows. But for peace of mind alone, Yeah, I want a new training staff.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's just at a certain point, the track record speaks too loudly for you to not pay attention to that and go, maybe we should think about doing something different.
6670, how do the Astros continue to get away with blatantly lying about injuries when teams literally get fined in the NFL and other leagues about misleading injuries? It makes no sense. I don't think that the, one, different leagues. Now, if you manipulate the injured list, you can get in trouble. But that's usually placing guys on IL that aren't hurt. The Astros have not placed guys on ILs that haven't been hurt. It's the opposite. They've had multiple guys that have been hurt and not placed on IL, and maybe they should have been sooner. And again, like, I don't know how you can prove the Astros have been lying.
No, and it's to the point you're making. It's the fact that you can retroactively go back and put them on the IL after. The fact is they believed what they were putting out there because they didn't put Tucker on the IL immediately, and they thought he'd be joining him on the road trip, and now here we are. So I don't think that that's part of it. And I also think that the sport matters too. Like, if you're going to be missing a running back, wide receiver, quarterback, or an impact player in football, the lying becomes more impactful to the game planning and everything else. Whereas if it's one spot in your lineup or one pitcher on your staff, you're not really fudging anything that's going to totally, completely change the game plan for the other team.
713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. A big name is coming to the AFC South officially. What does this mean for the division? And could the Texans counter with a big name of their own? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
ESPN 97.5 is proud partner for Houston Restaurants Weeks in 2024, and it's time to raise some money for the 2014 Houston Food Bank. For you, it's simple. Dine out, do good. Choose from over 400 restaurants to visit for lunch or dinner. Select from their prefixed menus, and a portion of the proceeds goes to Houston Food Bank. Plus, you're supporting local restaurants. It starts August 1st and runs through September 2nd. So going on now, go to HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com to find all the participating restaurants. 713-780-ESPN. Big name coming to the AFC South. Q'Andre Diggs has signed a one-year deal with the Titans. This reunites him, by the way, with Jamal Adams. Does this move the needle in the AFC South at all?
No, not at all. To me, I mean, look, I know you love your boy Will Levis, but you know what?
Second-best rookie quarterback.
What they have, and in the division in which the other three teams, I think, are substantially better than them. I mean, the other two teams are substantially better than them. I just don't think that it's going to move the needle enough. I think they're in the middle of a rebuild. They're trying to do whatever they can. Their defense is good. It's okay. But Jamal Adams, to me, has been grossly overrated for the majority of his career, and he's really not anything that I'm worried about there either. So, no, I don't think this is a big move.
Yeah, I am interested to see what the Titans look like this year. Under Brian Callahan, how does that offense look going from Mike Vrabel, who's not known for his offense, to Callahan now that's going to have a second-year quarterback under an offensive-minded head coach. You bring in Pollard, gone is Derrick Henry. Like, they're going to be totally different than what we've known the Titans to be for the last several years. That was a very run-heavy offense that was coached by a defensive-minded head coach, and now you're going to the former Bengals offensive coordinator, and Derrick Henry's gone. So they're going to look a lot different. I am curious what they look like, but I don't think it translates into a ton of wins. I think it's a 5 or 6 win team. Now, I wonder, and there's been some scuttlebutt about Justin Simmons. Patrick Storm on Twitter is saying that Justin Simmons has been offered a contract by the Houston Texans. Aaron Wilson and Jonathan Alexander, who also cover the Texans, have said that is not true. Mm. So you have a couple of reporters and you have Patrick Storm that are disagreeing about what the report is. So I'm curious to see who ends up getting the scoop right. My money's on the reporters, probably. What are you about to say?
I don't want Aaron Wilson to comment because I want Justin Simmons.
Yeah.
I want Justin Simmons as a member of the Houston Texans. I'm going to hold out hope that they have offered him or they will offer him, and I would love to have him on this roster. So I hope I hope, regardless of what the scuttlebutt started out to be, I hope at the end of the day, he's the answer.
I make fun of Aaron a little bit because of the D'Amico Ryans thing, but he's normally very right. Like, he's right 99% of the time. Jonathan Alexander, I have not seen to be wrong. I trust them. I trust that the Texans have not offered Simmons a contract. I hope that they're wrong, and I hope that Justin Simmons has been offered a contract. If you look at Diggs' contract, too, like, he's making $5 million, most of it in, like, half of its incentives. I wonder what Simmons would get if Diggs is getting five. I would guess somewhere in the seven and a half range with maybe up to $10 million in incentives.
I think that sounds about right. I think that the one, when you brought this up, I think the bigger thing is not the impact that it's going to have adding Diggs to Tennessee. To me, it's one other guy that could have possibly been in line to help the Texans, depending on what they wanted to do on defense. But to me, if they get Diggs and the Texans get Simmons, win for the Texans. I would be all for that. And they have the money to spend. And I just hope that he's just kind of waiting for a little bit more camp that he doesn't have to go through. And then he's ready to perform, to come in and play. Because, man, to give them the options, to give D'Amico's defense the option if they are going to continue to move Petrie into the slot corner role, and to give yourself a guy in the back end of your defense that's played as well as he's played since he's been in the league, that's exciting.
Yeah, I would. I want Simmons too. What has also been included in those reports from Aaron Wilson and Jonathan Alexander is that the Texans are comfortable with who their safeties are. They like their safeties, according to Wilson and Alexander. And their safeties, Jalen Petrie, if he's playing safety. Now, if he's playing nickelback, he's not a safety. You have Jimmy Ward, and then who's starting with Ward if Petrie's your nickel? Is it the rookie, Bullock? Is it Murray? Is it Stewart? So that's not something I feel entirely comfortable
like
with.
That, yeah.
Of the three, I just wish it was Bullock. Just go ahead and play the young guy and develop him. But I'd rather have Simmons and then let Bullock learn on the bench. And then when Ward inevitably gets injured, he just takes over for him.
No question. And look, I saw what I did see out of Bullock. I didn't see a ton of him. I liked the fact that he's not afraid to put his nose in and hit. He forced a fumble. I also thought that that whole fumble was a debacle. But at the same time, I hope that he could be a guy that at least finds some time on the field where he can help. But if this defense, and you've added all that you've added, and if you are truly in a go-for-it type mode, I don't think you should run the risk of waiting for a guy to see if he possibly could be a guy to contribute. If you have the money and Simmons is a guy that's out there that maybe to your benefit didn't get signed and there's not competition right now, and you're a team that looks like you could be really good this year and it would be enticing to him, go get him.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Puka Nacua injured his knee. They're saying that's week to week. I don't think that impacts the Texans much. I don't think it's a Super Bowl matchup. Although, you know, maybe it impacts where you're drafting Puka in your fantasy leagues. And then Harrison Butker. This could impact the Texans. AFC Championship game at Arrowhead, windy day. And then Harrison Butker comes in and pounds a 55-yard field goal to send the Chiefs to the Super Bowl over the Texans. Butker signed the highest contract for a kicker. So he went from being borderline canceled to now the highest-paid kicker in the NFL, Harrison Butker.
Wow. And you know what? They're slowly becoming the I don't care. In terms of, you know, when Bob McNair used to have the whole, you know, he doesn't bring the bad guys to town kind of thing. But they took, did you see that today? They re-signed Butker, no matter what controversy he had with him. We had the Andy Reid controversy. We had and the fact that the governor pardoned the rest of the sentence for Andy Reid's kid after what he did. And now they brought the punter in that was allegedly and then cleared out of college. The big leg punter about the sexual assault.
Yeah, Ariza, I think.
He had a ball. He kicked the ball 75 yards in the air today. He's on the Chiefs. And Gruden was in full Chiefs gear all over the sidelines today. So the Chiefs are in I don't care mode right now.
Yeah. I mean, Butker used his expression, his freedom of speech. I don't know if he's like a criminal.
I'm not Ariza, like that, but
Ariza
saying,
was let off. He was not found guilty. Right. And I think he countersued.
He tried. I don't know if he.
Yeah, I don't know where that's at, but I know he tried to either he is or he did countersue the.
I don't know where Cheryl Swoops is lost.
Accuser. And then, Gruden sent the nasty email.
Well, they were trying to spin. There were lots of emails.
Yeah, there was lots of emails, but there was the one that was really nasty. It was about the head of the player union, right?
Yeah,
I think he was the head of the player union.
It was. Yep.
All right.
Why can I not think of his name?
I can't think of his name either. I remember what Gruden said though. All right. 713-780-3776. Now this is a list. Unlike Madden ratings, I can put stock in the NFL players in the NFL. They gave their top 10 quarterbacks. So players talking about which quarterbacks in the NFL they think the highest of. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, tell you a few words about MyBookie. MyBookie.ag is the best place for you if you want to go someplace where you don't have to go anyplace. You don't have to go to Vegas. You don't have to drive to Louisiana. And you want to put money down, whether it be on sports games or you want to play casino games. They got it all under one roof, all at one website, all taken care of for you. All you got to do is get on your iPad, your phone, your laptop. Do whatever you're going to do when you get on the internet and do it with MyBookie.ag because they're going to take care of you every step of the way. They always have bonuses going on. Right now is no exception. If you remember our promo code BET975, if you sign up for the very first time or you're reloading your account and you use the promo code BET975, up to $1,000, you're going to instantaneously find more money in your account than what you put in because they want to take care of you, the customer, and make sure you're happy with where you're putting your money down. That means you can bet on games. And on the website, there's chats going on. There's live in-game betting. There's all the different ways that you bet on sports. And there's like-minded gamblers in on the website with chat rooms where you can actually communicate with them when you're looking to make your next bet. On top of that, while you're watching those games or maybe after those games are over or at a time when there's no games going on and you're looking to do something else, there's live dealers standing by with casino games too. You can play blackjack. You can play poker and so much more. They are there to take care of you so you don't have to drive to Louisiana or fly to Vegas. All you got to do is remember our promo code to cash in extra with Bet975. But do as I always tell you to do. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag and always use our promo code Bet975.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. So, I'm not a big Madden rating guy. Locker took me to task a little bit for that. I just don't like things that are not real. Like, hey, they're going to tell you who's the fastest player in the league. I already know who's fast. Like, I already know who's good. I don't need Madden's creators to be like, well, this guy's an 84, this guy's an 83. Now, this is a list that I like because I think this is real. I like to know what players think about other players, and we like to know where quarterbacks rank because there are quarterbacks. So there was a top 10 quarterback list voted by the players, voted by NFL players. So this is something that I actually put some stock into, unlike, you know, nerdy Madden guys that are creating things and then coming together with rankings. These are the real NFL players. And I'm not saying that you need to play the game to know, but it's just interesting to know where their peers think of players. Their top quarterback, according to NFL players, is Lamar Jackson. It blows my mind, and we saw this for the NFL Top 100, too. It blows my mind, and I like Lamar Jackson. Sure. Lamar Jackson's my second-best quarterback in the NFL. How can you have Lamar Jackson over Pat Mahomes?
That's just what it is, period. I don't care. Insert whoever. You can put them higher on the list than somebody else, and it can be subject to personal opinion. How do you put anybody over Patrick Mahomes with the run he's been on since he's been in the league and when he's done it without receivers, with receivers, you know, all hurt, all these other things? That to me just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, so they had Lamar at number one, which is insane. Number two, they had Pat Mahomes, so at least Mahomes isn't too far down. Their third quarterback's Josh Allen. And, of course, I'm not a huge Josh Allen guy. I think I had Allen, fifth of quarterbacks, which isn't too far down.
It was close.
I think I had him fifth. I think I had him fifth. I think I had him behind Hurts and Stroud, but ahead of Dak.
I know it was close to – he was teetering on the top five.
I'm pretty sure I had Allen fifth. Okay. But they have Allen third, so that's not too crazy. And, again, Allen does put up numbers. I just don't trust Allen to win three consecutive games in the playoffs because he is turnover prone. You could push back and say, well, Lamar Jackson hasn't done that. You would be absolutely right, but that's why I have Lamar behind Mahomes and not ahead of Mahomes. They have Jalen Hurts four. No problem there.
It's a little high.
Yeah, I had Hurts right around there. So I'm okay with him there.
I guess Burrow's injury factors in.
I don't know. Depends on what the players are saying.
Right.
The players didn't give their answers.
Burrow's track record says.
We'll get there.
Okay.
So they have Hurts four, Dak's at five. About right?
That's high.
I had Dak, I think, around 10.
Yeah, I did. I had him in the lower, the back end of the top 10.
And I feel like I'm a Dak guy. I feel like I defend Dak.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably true. I don't bash him. I just say that, you know, we want the same thing we say about Lamar and others, like you talked about. Dak puts up great regular season numbers, but it's legit what he hasn't done in the playoffs.
So Dak's five. They have Stroud at six. So okay. Stroud's getting some love from the NFL players. And I think NFL players probably, you know, they look at resume. They probably are like slow-moving ships where it takes them a little while before they, you know, bump up rookies. But Stroud to be in his second year, going into his second year, being number six based on NFL players, I think shows some respect.
I think that is the respect. I think that if you were thinking that he'd be higher than that amongst the players, I think he's got to do it for more than 1 year. I think the positive is players can recognize talent. And they saw what he did a year ago. A lot of these guys played against him and saw it firsthand to realize this isn't a ship passing in the night. This is a dude that's probably going to have some longevity doing this that made an impact. But they're also very quick to say, you got to do it over time. So that's probably why if you wanted him higher, he's not there.
Yeah. Behind Stroud is Brock Purdy at number seven, which I think I think shows respect for Brock.
It does.
I think that shows a lot. I don't know if I disagree with it, though. I think Brock Purdy is the most underrated quarterback in the league.
I think, and the reasons why would be associated with where he was drafted and his salary and everything else, but and because he's got a ton of talent around him, but you still got to do your job. He's done his job, and he's done it better than a game manager.
Yeah, I like Brock Purdy. He's jacked, too. Have you seen pictures of him? Mm-mm. He's ripped. Like, he got really, really big during the offseason. Jordan Love, your guy, highest-paid quarterback in the NFL, number eight.
Mm.
You think it's high for Love?
I think it's high.
Where do you have Love? Just outside of your top 10? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have him somewhere. I think I had him in my top 10, but lower. I think it's fair for him to be somewhere between 8 and 13, 8 and 12, range.
I got to see more. I've said it all along. Yeah. There is talent there. I just have to see more, and I was cringeworthy of giving him the contract before I did see more.
You know just breaking down Love's game last year, I thought he was really good in the regular season, especially down the stretch. I soured a little bit on Love in that playoff game.
The end of it.
Yeah, he was not great.
The fourth quarter. And you and I have talked about it. We talked about it during the season. There were times and throws where you just went, ooh, you're just not supposed to make that throw, especially at that time. And then in the most important game of the year, he made a couple of throws in crunch time and in the fourth quarter when you just couldn't do that.
Yeah, that and maybe I'm putting way too much stock in 15 minutes of football, but it was the most important 15 minutes of football that he's ever played in his career, and he looked pretty bad.
I preface this every time. I don't want him to be bad. I just need to see more because I watched every snap and saw a whole lot of that in different times in different games, and the first 10 games of the season weren't great, and then he really turned it on the second half of the year. But are you telling me, when we talk about small sample sizes and Brock Osweilers and all the things we've seen here, you're telling me that I shouldn't be cringeworthy of saying, I want to give this guy a couple hundred million dollars because of 8 or 9 games?
Yeah, I still like him more than you do, but I moved a little bit closer to your point after that 15 minutes of football. And again, maybe that's harsh for me. Tua was number 9 for this player vote for top 10 quarterbacks. I don't know if I had him in my top 10.
I don't either. I don't think I did either. I think that's high.
They have Joe Burrow number 10. I think this is the most criminal, other than Mahomes not being one.
Yeah,
Burrow being 10 is the worst ranking of this list.
Could not agree more.
Like, he to me should be up there.
Injured or not, players know what he's done, what he's capable of doing. When they say that he can be kind of a Mahomes kryptonite type of guy, when he's won at Arrowhead, when he's been the guy to do what Josh Allen couldn't do, to use your guy as the other guy that was higher, Burrow's got to be higher.
Yeah, I was shocked to see him at number 10. I feel like that's very disrespectful for Joe Burrow. Maybe it's the new hair. Number 11, Matt Stafford from the Rams.
Maybe he's too low.
Yeah, that's all right. I had him pretty high on my top 10, but I feel like there's a lot of guys that are interchangeable there. Like after the top 5, top 6, I feel like you could pretty much put a new quarterback 7 through 10 on it whatever day it is.
He's kind of the opposite of Dak in the fact that he has a Super Bowl. When they've needed him, he's come up big. He on that run, he made lots of big throws and was a big reason why they did what they did. Regular season, sometimes he gets hurt. He got lost a lot in Detroit. But I just think you have to respect what he's been able to do once he got with a good team.
Yeah. And then number 12, they have Jared Goff.
What's interesting to me on that list is Rodgers doesn't even appear in the top 12.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think body of work alone, and for everybody that says, oh, the throws, oh, the arm talent, oh, the this and oh, the that, that the players that have seen it over the course of the career would be the first to say, hey, there's that guy's got that kind of talent.
Yeah.
So I think that that should be notated too. That's kind of an eye-opener to me that the players didn't put him in the top 12.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. What are you nominating for today's car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
That's Hunter Brown's music. Hunter Brown on the mound in Arlington trying to stop a skid. Astros have lost back-to-back games, trying to avoid a three-game losing streak. They take on the Rangers today. What does Brown do?
I'm going to go. He's actually he's admitted the fact that he gets up more for the Rangers games, and he does make them a bigger deal. I like that. I'm going to go 6 1/3, 2.
Okay, yeah, I'll take that. I'll take it right now.
Okay.
Seattle has a series against Detroit.
Seattle has like 7 of their next 10 against Detroit.
Hopefully, hopefully they can do something.
Yeah,
Scooble or whatever.
I could leave, it's not Scooble tonight. But.
No, it's Scooble and I think it's Miller pitch on Wednesday.
Okay, it's a doubleheader.
It's like a really good pitching matchup. I don't think so.
Oh, Miller for the – I'm sorry. Miller for Seattle.
Yeah, the pitching matchup. I saw a tweet today about how that's going to be a great pitching matchup. Like the best pitching matchup of the week, and they highlighted that one as good. The best pitching matchup of the week.
Scooble throws his tail off.
So at least they get Scooble. They have to face Scooble. Yeah, it'd be nice if the Tigers – A.J. Hinch, do your former club a solid, right? Do your former club a solid. Astros need it in the worst way.
Unless you believe that the Tigers don't like the Astros and didn't want to trade with them.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
I don't think that's the case either. An offer's an offer. If you get the prospects, you get the prospects. It doesn't matter who's giving them to you.
Usually teams that are selling don't care who they're selling to. They care about what the price is going to be. Now, sometimes in division will come into play. I wouldn't operate that way. Like, give me the best trade regardless of whatever team you are. Like, I'm going to worry about my front porch before I worry about anybody else's. But I do admit that that will come into play from time to time. But usually sellers just give it to the best offer.
And the Dodgers have a rich farm system. They got a good deal for Flaherty. The one that you should question is Chicago with Fetty and what they didn't get that they could have gotten if they liked your prospects.
That was a weird trade, too. Like, a bunch of major league pieces were in that one. And then Fetty wasn't good in his first start. And then Fetty was, like, out of major league baseball for a year. Yeah. So, like, is this just all smoke and mirrors in his first half of the year? I don't know.
Yeah, is he a one-trick pony, or is he going to be a guy that now you're going to resign, or you're going to believe that, you know, now when the stakes are higher and the lights are brighter, is he going to step up?
Yeah. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give me your bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, what is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Blankers, what you got?
So the easy one is the Astros offense on Saturday and Sunday. So we'll start with that because that needs no explanation at all. But I found this, and I thought this was great. We know Ozzie Guillen's always a quote machine. He's always good for some good stuff, ask Paul Gallant. But when clarifying how bad the White Sox have been, he's on White Sox TV, and that manager Pedro Grifol is 100 games under 500 as the Sox manager. He explains it as only he can how he reacted when Grifol was hired over him.
See, because I don't think I was the bad manager when they picked Pedro in front of me. I got to see a psychiatrist. Yeah. So I'm drinking a lot.
You are.
I have problems with my wife a lot. The only people who get along with me is my grandkids. Everybody out, I hate him. I don't know why.
Don't take it personally.
Maybe that's why. No, I swear to God. I'm not playing around. A lot of people, I was beating myself. Like, my God, I'm this bad? Then I went to manage in Venezuela. I come back and go, wow, then I will
win. Championship.
And now that's on my city, Chicago. I was like, holy cow. I should be embarrassed myself more than anything.
Mm. Well,
Mind you, this was White Sox television.
Yeah, he goes nuts.
Grifol is still the manager.
Not for long.
And your studio analyst is going off. Yeah, that's one of two things. He either gets the manager job or he could get fired too.
I don't think it's that. I think Ozzie Guillen has like a leash. Ozzie Guillen's got a longer leash than the manager does.
But I'm saying either Guillen gets the job and Grifol gets fired.
Yeah.
Or someone's going to talk to Guillen about going, hey, I understand how you feel, but you can't say it on White Sox television.
They let Guillen do whatever he wants.
It's not the first time he's done this year.
It's really the only reason there is to watch White Sox baseball. Just to listen to Ozzie Guillen.
I thought he was doing some of the studio with Layla Rahimi that used to work here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he had a couple. He even was bashing the Astros over when the first time they played the White Sox.
This year?
Yeah.
What was he saying about the
Something
Astros?
Something about still going back to the scandal.
Was he really?
Yeah.
He's entertainment.
He doesn't hold his tongue either. At least he kept it clean this time. With Paul, he did not.
No, he was mad at Paul.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, he went... He dropped some bombs.
I want to nominate John Rahm. John Rahm had a back 9-39 to choke away a medal. He was leading by 4 shots after 10.
Yep.
He had 8 holes to play, up 4 shots, and he went from the top of the leaderboard, the top podium spot, to shooting a 39, didn't even medal.
Didn't even medal.
One of the bigger choke jobs we've seen in golf in recent memory.
Oh, Brandel Chamblee just crushed it.
Are you saying he was up there with Rory at the Masters?
Yeah.
It's probably right. Collapses.
I mean, if you do believe, and there's no reason not to, and Scheffler was even crying on the stand about how much it means to be in the Olympics in golf and have a chance to win a medal for your country, and you know how dedicated and loyal he's been to his country of Spain, that was bad.
Yeah, that was a rough back 9. Probably one that he's going to lose some sleep. That's probably like some of his most meaningful golf outside of the majors, because he doesn't care about live that much. I mean, he does. He cares about everything.
The paycheck, but yeah.
Yeah, that was a rough look for John Rahm. You have another?
No, I think that's about it.
I have two more. A couple of texts, too. 713-780-3776. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? Have you guys seen the markets? The stock market crashing.
Oh, is that right?
That's yeah. It is going nuts right now in a bad way. And they tear it. It's going down. It all started yesterday, too. The Japan market started going down overnight. And the U.S. stock market, not very good either.
That's not good to hear.
No. 2738 says car wreck of the day, Astro bats.
Fair.
What do you think about this offense recently?
I mean, it's been awful. And the fact that they could only muster 3 hits on a opener day yesterday was horrible. But the fact that all weekend they couldn't score runs and they couldn't get hits, they had an explosion. They had 10 hits on Friday night, and that was it, basically. They had more hits on Friday night than they had all weekend.
One run in the last 2 days.
Brutal.
One run in the last 2 days. Do you see this Morgan Wallen at Arrowhead, the concert delay that they had? They had a 40-minute concert delay because there was a fan who tweeted that he was going to kill Patrick Mahomes. And he was
really
there watching. He and Kelsey were there to watch Morgan Wallen. And a guy just sent a random tweet that he was going to kill Patrick Mahomes, and then the authorities caught wind of it. 40-minute concert delay until they found the guy.
I thought it was because he wore the Butker jersey.
No.
Because they were...
They love Butker there.
I know, and Morgan Wallen did wear the jersey, I believe.
Yeah, so how about that guy?
Who does that? I mean, I shouldn't say who does that. There's too many people that do that these days.
I think the guy that tweeted is like, yeah, I was being stupid. But yeah, don't tweet about that.
Shouldn't you face the charges anyway for being stupid? That stupid?
Yeah, don't threaten to kill people. That's never very smart. All right, what's winning car wreck of the day?
I think the no-brainer has to be the Astros offense.
Yeah, I'll go Astros offense. All very good. We had good candidates today.
Yes.
But Astros offense is the bigger car wreck of the day. So congratulations, Astros. Maybe this will be one of two victories they have today. Car wreck of the day, and then a win over the Rangers.
Let's get the win tonight.
That's going to do it for us. Thanks to Boston Rodriguez for doing all the hard work, filling in for Brian. He's blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Soccer Matters. Glenn Davis up right now on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone.
smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
One of the biggest challenges of earning a degree as a military veteran is transitioning your goals and experiences to your next phase in life. National University gets it. As a veteran-founded Yellow Ribbon School, they offer post-9/11 GI Bill acceptance, dedicated military support and advising services, and credit for your military experience. That's why 30% of their students are military-affiliated. NU, education that serves those who served.